You're listening to SBS News.
Hi everyone, I'm Ricardo Govers. We're on the money from the SBS Newsroom. This Monday, the 31st of August 2020, it is your daily 10-minute business and finance wrap. Let's start with the Australian share market. The S&P ASX 200 down 0.22% today to 6060. It comes as profit reporting season winds up, and it also is the last day of August. So for the month, shares actually rose 2.2%, which considering is very, very good. If we take a look at some of the stocks from today, Fortescue Metals led the declines, down 7.7%. It did go ex-dividend today, though. The banks were weaker across the board. NAB finished flat. Listed property players like GPT did well, though. And Mosaic Brands, which owns Noni B, stores like Noni B, actually rose quite strongly. The company reopened some of its stores at Westfield after it resolved a rental dispute. We should also mention that the Australian dollar is approaching 74 US cents. So for more on that and a wrap of the day on the markets, I spoke earlier with Evan Lucas from Invest Smart. Evan, what's been driving the market today?
Look, the US is still the main driver for our market, so we can't deny that. We are also in a bit of a holding pattern too in terms of where we sit. We have the end of earnings season, dividends are coming up. There is this whole at the moment of where do we actually sit in the COVID scenario is probably the other part of it.
Can we talk about what I think might be the corporate story of the day? And that's NAB selling its MLC financial advice and wealth business to IOOF Holdings for $1.44 billion. Now, that makes IOOF the country's largest advice business, but it also now means the big four banks have now sold or divested their financial advice units post the Royal Commission. But what now for the banks, especially in an era where borrowers are delaying repayments and personal lending has hit a record low?
Yeah, and there's a whole other sort of side of this as well. Is banks are trying to get back to being a bank, and that's probably put that out there as probably part of the answer, is that they want to be what a bank is. They borrow money, they put a margin on it, and then they lend it to you and I. That's what banking is in terms of your simple retail structure. But they have other things on their mind, and then it's clear from the earnings season that we've just seen that we have not seen this level of 90-plus day delinquencies pretty much ever. So that's actually larger than what we saw during the GFC. Now, overall impairment of assets isn't as bad as the GFC, but it does make you sit up and understand that the banks do need to start talking to their customers. They have customers now that are starting to get towards levels that you would normally suggest. They're going to start asking questions about not only repayments, but possibly default. So the banks divesting away from what we call in our word vertical integration was always coming. It's been happening all the way through this. But more than that, they now have to concentrate on their core business of being a bank. And as you alluded to, personal lending is down to record lows, as you suggested. Not surprising. Why would you be getting a personal loan in a current unforeseen environment? But those that have got debt that they've been holding for however many years are now getting questions they never expected, which is, you need to start thinking about possibly paying that down or getting rid of it. And that is what's different now as well, is not just getting rid of that vertical integration, so a wealth business or an insurance business or whatever it was that the banks have acquired over the last 20, 30 years, an international bank as well, all those kind of things. They've slimmed themselves down to being Australian banking. And an Australian banking in the current environment is very, very tough, and it's going to get tougher. And I think that's the core takeaway, not just the fact that obviously we've seen NAB and also ANZ this year sell to IOOF. It's the fact that banking is going to be very tricky in an environment where employment, the economy, are under a level that we've never really seen in 100 years.
Evan, can we talk about the Australian dollar? It almost hit 74 US this afternoon. What's behind the recent rally and where to?
Yeah, well, so I'll answer it backwards. The where to, it looks like it's going to go towards 80 cents. And I know that's an amazing thing to say, but if you look at the trend, if you look at what's driving it, 80 cents over the next 12 months is not out of the question. Now, why? Twofold. The Australian dollar has actually been supported by local environments. Now, barring the issue in Victoria, economically, Australia's done okay. I mean, it's certainly not great, let's be honest, but it's done okay. Our exports are actually doing quite well. In fact, they may actually provide a small buffer to what we've been going through in this country because iron ore is at levels we weren't expecting. Demand for coal, copper, etc., are doing quite nicely. The other side of this, and this is what we never talk about, when you talk about the Aussie dollar, it's two sides to that coin because it's the Aussie dollar to the US dollar. And the US dollar is the one you've got to look at here, not really us. The US dollar is falling to levels it hasn't seen in a decade in against some currencies. It's actually as a basket falling to the lowest level in 12 years. And it comes down to their Federal Reserve, so their central bank. They moved the goalposts on Friday. They're likely to actually, because they've moved the goalposts, be able to kick it in a different direction on September the 18th, 17th, and probably stimulate their economy even more so than they're already doing. It's pulling the US dollar down, which is driving the Aussie dollar up. So when you put that all together, there is an easy argument to make that 80 cents is there, because the US dollar looks like, wants to, and is going to go lower. The Aussie dollar doesn't have an influencer to push it down, and it's actually doing surprisingly okay. So all those factors together explain why we're heading towards, in my view anyway, over the next 12 months, 80 cents, rather than back to what we were at March when we got down to as low as 58 cents. It's a big move.
Evan Lucas there from Invest Smart. We got some statistics from the Bureau of Statistics today, business indicators data, including some wages numbers as well. It said that it predicted that wages fell 3.3% in June. The worst sectors, accommodation and food services, down 17.5%, followed by arts and recreation, off by 13.8%. The sectors that fell the least include healthcare and social assistance, down 0.4%, and mining, 0.8%. But gross operating profits actually rose, and rose quite strongly because of government stimulus measures. For the quarter, up 15%. Year on year, gross operating profits rose 11.3%. And for more, I spoke earlier with Alex Joiner, the chief economist from IMF Investors.
This is government support. It is wages coming off. All these things are temporary. So we would expect, you know, over coming quarters, as things sort of start to normalize a little bit more, that we see the true nature of the profits of some of these companies. And I think, you know, that's where the more negative narrative is going to come in, and where businesses are going to have to make some decisions going forward around investment and employment is just over the coming quarters when that support starts to come off.
Alex Joiner there from IFM Investors. And while we are talking about profits, it is the end of profit reporting season. So I thought it would be a good time to check in to see how our listed major companies fared. And for that, I spoke earlier with the chief economist at CommSec, Craig James. Craig, how would you describe this profit reporting season?
Well, in a single word, it was momentous. What we had in the second half of last year was a trade war between the United States and China. We also had Brexit, and that was undermining economic growth in Australia and across the globe. And then we go into the first half of this year, and it's been all COVID. So with this COVID, once in a 100-year pandemic, so it's been a momentous time for corporate Australia.
So to what extent are profits and dividends down?
Well, if we look at the companies reporting for the year to June, the company profits are down in the order of 38%. Only 75% of companies were able to report a profit this time around. The usual is around about 88%. In terms of dividends, down in the order of 36%. This time around, only 69% of companies were able to report a dividend. Usually, again, it's up around about 88%.
But what have been the trends? Because some companies have actually been making money.
Well, retailers have generally done well, particularly those which are very much focused on homewares, electrical items. People have been confined to barracks as a result. You know, they're trying to make life a little bit more comfortable for themselves and expand their home office. Miners have done well, supported by high gold prices and iron ore prices, but doing less well have been the property trusts and those travel-related or travel-dependent firms.
Companies are holding a record amount of cash on hand, though. Why? And what does that say about the economic outlook, especially at a time when so many of these companies have failed to provide outlook guidance?
I think the best way to describe it is fear of the unknown, FOTU. We just don't know how this crisis is going to evolve over the next 6 months, over the next 12 months. Companies aren't making as much money as they did in the past, so they're not in the situation where they can pay out much in terms of dividends. And some companies are flying close to the wind at the moment. They basically need to have the cash on hand to be able to get through the period of time. The caution, I think, is the major reason why companies are holding, you know, sort of so much cash. And that's quite rightful, you know, in the current environment.
Craig James there, the chief economist at CommSec. Tomorrow we will hear from the Reserve Bank. It is September the 1st, the first Tuesday of the month, so the RBA board will meet. We'll also get some data from CoreLogic on house prices. Remember, tomorrow is the beginning of the spring selling season, so we'll find out how house prices tracked in August. And then on Wednesday, be prepared to hear the word recession a lot, because we'll get the latest economic growth numbers from the Bureau of Statistics, which is likely, or more than likely, to confirm a second consecutive quarter of negative growth in the economy. So that's coming up on Wednesday. I'm Ricardo Gonsalves. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter at BusinessRicardo, one word, and that is On The Money for this Monday, the 31st of August, 2020. We'll talk to you next time.